baited, mining Norwegian waters to make them inaccessible to German shipping. They also considered a possible occupation of the Norwegian port, which would not only disrupt the supply of iron ore to German industry, but give France and Britain a northern base from which to supply and support their Finnish allies, who were already fighting a bitter war against invading Soviet troops. However, mining Norwegian waters or taking the port would violate Norway's neutrality and be a clear and unprovoked act of aggression. The House of Commons debated the issue, but their final decision on whether or not to invade was suddenly rendered irrelevant when, on the 9th of April, the German army attacked the neutral country and Narvik fell. The British responded by sending a strong naval squadron, including the battleship HMS Warspite. This force succeeded in sinking all 10 of the German destroyers, which had landed an invasion force of 2,000 mountain infantry. It was also able to take control of the surrounding coast. Convoys of troops were then dispatched under the command of General Piers Mackesy, with orders to take Narvik as quickly as possible. The Admiralty, with a strong force already present, favoured an assault from the sea, but Mackesy refused to subject the population of the town to the bombardment necessary to destroy the defences rapidly deployed by the occupying Germans. He opted instead to land his troops near to the city, wait for the last of the winter snow to melt, then mount his assault. The men now boarding the Trobry were a part of the British contingent of Norwegian, French and Polish troops being collected and transported to what would be the first major battle of the Norwegian campaign, and despite the discomforts universal among soldiers on the move, spirits among the men were high. On the liner's decks, the crew moved about, shouting to one another in Polish, while the soldiers swore quietly to themselves in English as they passed through the narrow strip of quay which lay between the ship itself and the piles of ammunition, fuel and equipment still waiting to be loaded. The small fishing port had never been intended to service ocean-going ships, and the whole place had an air of barely controlled chaos, as if at any moment the sheer weight of moving men, stacked equipment on quay, and the vast bulk of the Trobry would somehow come together in collision and annihilate the whole endeavour. But the worst never happened. Chaos was kept at bay, and the embarkation progressed. Just. By the end of the day, the little fishing port, its deep waters essential to the job of bringing Mackesy's forces together in proper order, would be free of war preparations and able to return to its normal, quiet state. A young army lieutenant stood watching the men as they mounted the gangway. One of the shuffling line looked past him.
"Watch your back, sir. Looks as if the Major's a bit annoyed about something."
The other men nearby grinned at one another. The young Sprog was about to get a rocket, and they would have a ringside seat. The Major wasted no time.
"For Christ's sake, Carstairs, can't you get these buggers to move any more quickly than this?"
He looked at his wristwatch.
"We're an hour behind schedule as it is, and we've got another 100 men to get on board."
A Royal Naval officer, carrying a clipboard and looking thoroughly harassed, bustled his way round and squeezed through the stacks of equipment that filled the quay. He came to them and looked at his wristwatch.
"For Christ's sake, Major, can't you get these men to move more quickly? You're an hour behind already, and we've got another 100 men to get on board."
One of the liner's crew, an officer, appeared beside the head of the gangplank and shouted down in Polish. The small group of three officers on the quay looked at him blankly. He shouted again, this time in heavily accented English.
"More quickly! Must be more quickly!"
He tapped his wristwatch.
"1 hour late already! More quickly! Many more to come!"
Then he disappeared back into the throng of men who were finding places along the deck to drop their kit and sit down. A slight haze of cigarette smoke drifted outwards across the ship's rails, where some men in khaki were leaning over, smoking, spitting, and looking vacantly at the busy quayside. The naval officer gestured to the men above.
"Look at them! They're just scattering themselves anywhere! For God's sake! Are you getting them stowed tactically?"
The Major turned to the lieutenant.
"Are the men being stowed tactically, Carstairs?"
"Tactically, sir?"
The